area right now. I'm on Skype. It's 9 o'clock at night here, and so we are just starting our interviews. We're working with some folks today. I've already spoken to some folks here at the hotel, and they've been under the false impression, as far as I can tell, is that the reason Angela Merkel is bringing in the Muslims out of Syria and bringing in millions and millions of people is because the population of Germany is aging, and they need to replace the population because the Germans refuse to have more than one child, probably because they were beaten into a stupor by all the negative publicity over them for the last 70 years, and they just simply haven't bothered to reproduce to bring a child in, all that negative stuff. So they've decided not to have any babies. So they're all convinced here that the reason she's bringing the Muslims into Germany is because she's trying to rebuild the population, which I think is complete and total nonsense. What do you think, Austin?
That sounds like the biggest load of hogwash excuse I've ever heard from anybody. I can't believe they've gotten that brainwashed over there. I mean, what, if you are planning on trying to rebuild the population, why don't you try and give incentives to other European cultures to come there and live and grow businesses? Why in the world do you want to bring in a bunch of third world country refugees from war-torn Syria that have absolutely no similar ethics or morals to the European culture and bring them into your country to have them repopulate? That's completely bogus. I think she's lying again, which is normal.
Well, yeah, well, that's, of course, this is what Angela Merkel is going to do, but this is what the people here are believing. And then what's interesting, he told me that they were not allowed to stay in Austria. They're moving right straight through Austria, going right straight into Germany. And I thought, wow, that's just kind of awful. But the guy was interesting. This guy I was talking to is from Turkey. So I imagine he's probably Muslim, but I didn't ask him that. So, I'll ask him tomorrow before we leave here. So, there's some pretty good stories coming up. We had a bunch of protective suits got stolen from the Paris hospital, raising fears right now that maybe another chemical attack or a chemical attack in Paris. This is off Global News. It says the authority for the Paris public hospital says a number of protective health outfits, similar to those worn by people dealing with the Ebola virus, are missing from a locked room in the city in a city hospitals. The formal complaint was filed on Thursday, the same day Prime Minister Manuel Valls said in the National Assembly there may also be a risk of chemical and bacteriological weapons used by the attackers. Now, where are they getting those, I wonder? That sounds like CIA to me. The Paris Public Hospital Authority said Sunday a limited number of suits were missing but would not confirm the media reports, saying a dozen hermetic protective overalls and 3 dozen pairs of special boots resistant to chemical agents, gloves, and antibacterial masks have all disappeared. So, I don't know, Austin. It sounds like they're trying to get something really sick going on in Paris over there now.
Well, that would be the next stage in some type of false flag, or even if it is legitimate terrorist attack, that would be the next step, is something biological. The Paris attack, you know, that we saw was pretty violent and bloody, but that's not near the level that I think that these guys are trying to inflict to try and get this global police state ensured in. I mean, you saw what they were doing. I think it was Belgium, wasn't it? I think I talked about it last night. I mean, they completely locked down, Brussels. It was Brussels. They found the chemicals and explosives found there by the capital. And I mean, they completely locked down Brussels. They had the MRAPs running around, military running around, curfew, nobody can be outside. That was pretty serious. So, I mean, to me, it seems like they're doing an awfully lot of this overactive policing because they want to prevent something from happening, which could be a good thing. But on the other hand, too, we've seen a lot of this. When you get this overreaching police state, it shortly becomes tyrannical after that.
Well, when we were at the airport today in Madrid making a connecting flight, we ended up watching TV for a few minutes, and it's all it was with what was going on in Brussels and Belgium and the police state and the MRAPs and all the stuff that was going on over there. So if you think that we're getting the different kind of coverage than they're getting over here, you're absolutely wrong. It's exactly what they're hearing on their news, too. Because remember, the same news media, the Rothschild banking cartel, owns the media here in Vienna, too, and also in Spain and also in Germany and pretty much all over the world. So the only really free news we get now pretty much is out of Russia today and maybe some of the Arab stations. Other than that, we pretty much have to listen to the mind-numbing, programming drone that we have to listen to from these guys, Austin.
Well, yeah, that's why they like to over and over and over again show these images on the TV like they do when they had the Boston bombing up in the Northeast. You know, they had the massive police state completely take over the entire city. That's what they're doing in Brussels right now as well. They like to replay those images over and over to ensure that we understand how powerful the police state is and the military is. Just like you were saying, when you go to the football games now and they have, you know, the F-18s and the Raptors fly over and the B-52 bombers, they like to show everybody and remind us how much stronger they are.
No, it's ridiculous. Another article, another letter, the Russian airstrikes have destroyed 472 terrorist targets in Syria in 48 hours, 1,000 oil tankers in the last 5 days. This is from Russia Today. Russia airstrikes have torched more than 1,000 tankers taking stolen crude oil to Islamic State refineries. This blow against the jihadists comes as Russian Air Force has hit 472 terrorist targets in 2 days in Syria, making 141 sorties. The decision to augment the operation in Syria was taken after the Russian Security Service, the FSB, reported to President Vladimir Putin that the Russian passenger plane that crashed over Egypt Sinai was destroyed by a terrorist bomb. President Putin has vowed to find and to punish the culprits behind the Sinai plane attack. Our military work in Syria must not only continue, it must also be strengthened in such a way so that the terrorists will understand that retribution is inevitable, said Putin. Russian Air Force pilots heading for sorties against Islamic State in Syria have been sending emotional messages to their targets, writing, "For Paris and for our people on the sides of the high-explosive bombs." Wow. So this thing's starting to really escalate over there, buddy.
Yeah, well, Russia's had enough of it. I mean, especially when that airliner went down, that wasn't a joke to them. You know, we've been doing, the United States has been playing over their little, you know, tiddlywinks hopscotch games for the last 2 years with these, you know, air raids that they say they do once a month that knock out some little dirt dung building out in the middle of nowhere, and they killed, you know, two insurgents. These guys, they know exactly where they're getting all their money from and how they're being funded and what they're being allowed to do. We saw that a couple of weeks ago, that video with the Apache helicopter just floating along with that giant train of cars that was just going along over there. So Russia knows exactly where to hit these guys and how to hit them, and they're doing exactly what they need to do. And, I mean, we see the fuel prices are continuing to drop, which is a good thing, I guess, for us at a certain point. But another interesting aspect now is the alternative bank Swiss in Switzerland has caused a shockwave with letters to all clients in mid-October informing them that it's imposing interest charges on deposits in 2016. This is going to go across all deposits now. They're saying that it's going to be a negative 0.125 percentage rate, and it's going to be a negative 0.75 percentage rate on all deposits that are higher than 100,000 Swiss francs, or about $98,000. That's pretty interesting. Why do you think they're imposing negative interest rates like that now, Deb?
What's happened is there's been a lot of cop capital flight back into Switzerland again, like there was in 2008 and 2009. And the Swiss government is basically saying that, you know, you're going to make our Swiss franc go back up in value again. And when that happens, it's going to really affect our exports. So if you're going to do this and you're going to put your money in Switzerland, it's going to cost you. A lot of people weren't going over there and they weren't buying equities. They were just putting their money in cash and putting it in Swiss francs and putting it in gold. And they charge a pretty good premium now just to hold the gold over there. And now I guess they decided that you're not just going to hold gold, you're not just going to put cash there, you're going to have to be paying for it no matter what you do. Because it costs the Swiss government money as far as having to constantly try to inflate their currency. Because I mean, remember that before they got pegged to the euro, of course the euro's dropped so hard now they depegged from it, but they were actually having to do something very quickly because tourism had collapsed in Switzerland because of the fact that the Swiss franc had gotten so strong because it was a flight currency. And that's what's happened there. That's what they were afraid of was going to happen, Austin. They're afraid people are going to be bringing a bunch of money back over there and just parking it. And they don't want to do that. They wanted to either buy equities or get involved with it or pay management fees. And that's what this is going to be, just a management fee. And that's what they're going to call it.
Now, is this percentage rate, do you think is it going to be a monthly or yearly interest charge?
1.5%, I would think that'd be a yearly rate. I don't think they're going to get away with doing it anymore. So if you have $100,000 over there, they're going to charge you $1,500 just to keep it there. You know, which is, considering the whole world might go to hell in a handbasket here pretty quick with a nuclear war, you know, forgive my vernacular there, but people probably figure it's worth 1.5% not to lose it. You know, look at this one in the Ukraine. Look what's going on in Ukraine right now. In Ukraine, the power plants are dangerously without power as towers feeding the energy to Crimea are blown up. Crimea is completely without power now. And that means the nuclear plants now, the cooling tanks, are having to be run on backup generators. Hopefully they don't run out of fuel. Russia Today, in an eerie reminder of possible nuclear catastrophe, a senior Ukrainian energy official revealed that the attack on transmission towers that cut off the delivery of electricity from Ukraine to Crimea also created an emergency situation in nuclear power plants. The apparent act of sabotage in Ukraine's Kherson region forced an emergency power unloading at several Ukrainian nuclear power plants, which can be extremely dangerous, according to the first deputy director of Ukraine's energy company, Yukaryo, I'm sorry, Austin, I can't pronounce these names. Russia's Crimea was forced to switch to autonomous reserve power, what I tell you, after transmission towers in the adjacent Ukraine region were blown up, causing a blackout. So in other words, they were having to run their cooling pumps off of backup generators. Wow.
That's interesting.
That's nuts.
That's serious. That can get bad really fast.
That's Chernobyl and that's Japan all over again.
Yep, all over again. We already have enough radiation. We don't need any more.
That's right. You got a story
another,
for me?
Yeah, this is pretty crazy one, actually. Amazon now, Amazon.com, you know, Amazon, PayPal, all these guys are pretty much government-controlled on the backside. The book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which is authored by Jim Fetzler, Ph.D., that claims that Sandy Hook was a staged FEMA drill carried out by the government to push an agenda of nationwide gun control. That book now has been completely removed and banned from Amazon. He can no longer sell it on there. Completely, they won't let him sell it. It's that Amazon.com selectively targeted this book for censorship due to the political incorrectness of the author's conclusions. Remember, Amazon.com is the same one that banned Confederate flags in the aftermath of that South Carolina shooting. But what's crazy is Amazon.com has no restrictions on books. They even have Mein Kampf on Amazon. There's no restrictions on anything, but now they're saying that they gave him no reason. They just pulled it off, won't let him sell it on there. And what's crazy is it's not that he put it on there and then they immediately removed it. He had it on there for over a month and had almost a full 5-star rating all across the board on this book. And so it kind of begs the question, what is so dangerous about this book that Amazon needs to banish it from retail? I mean, it's kind of like I told, I don't know if you heard yesterday on the show, I know you were flying, I said, you know, why are they pushing so hard? Why is the lobbyist pushing so hard and refusing to allow GMOs to be labeled? If GMOs are so awesome, they're so great, they're such a benefit to mankind, wouldn't it be advantageous for them to put it on the label and say contains GMO so everybody would get excited about it instead of constantly trying to block it? The same thing with this. If this book is just hogwash and everybody thinks it's a bunch of conspiracy theories, why do they care if it's on Amazon unless it has some true meaning to it? I thought that was a pretty interesting article.
Well, you got to remember, Austin, you know, when you start coming out and saying the entire Sandy Hook thing was a big bogus operation, which, I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know what the heck happened, but there sure were some weird things that happened there. And the one thing that really bothered me from the very beginning was when there were no funerals for any of the children, and then the parents weren't even allowed to see their children. And I'm thinking myself, when I never saw any ambulances there in the footage, I never saw any helicopters or medevacs, and I never saw anything. And I thought to myself, this is just really odd to me. I don't understand any of this. And then right after that, the whole place gets bulldozed, and you're like, okay, well, now it's bulldozed and gone. Now there's no forensics left over there. So the whole thing is just odd. It's just so. And you see, the problem is when you have an area like that that's geographically isolated in a certain part of the country, you can pretty much say anything you want about that area to the rest of the country if you have the media strong enough there to do it. And everybody's going to believe you because nobody can do an individual verification of this. I mean, there's no, there was, you know, I mean, where are the people that are not the? It's just a mess, Austin. I mean, the whole thing is just really, really weird. So now this guy's book gets snatched off the market. I guess maybe he was pushing too many buttons and hitting the wrong people with it or whatever. But they're so bent on taking our guns away. I wouldn't doubt anything they would do at this point to try to remove the weapons from the people of the United States because they've already pretty much disarmed Europe already. You know, this place is just so politically correct over here. It's ridiculous. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's just sad. But we're having a fun time over here so far. It's just kind of a little bit jet lagged right now. U.S. French aircraft carriers rush towards the Syrian coast to find numerous Russian warships already there. This is from Zero Hedge. Where things get very interesting is what the Navy Times says next. ISIS is not the only challenge that awaits the flotilla, which includes the cruiser Anzio, carrier wing Air 7, and destroyers Bulky, and a bunch of other things. And the Iranian Marines have established a presence in Syria, and Russian warships from the Black Sea have relocated to the Eastern Mediterranean to protect fighter jets conducting airstrikes in support of Syria's Assad regime. In other words, Russia is supporting the regime of Assad, which we all know that. in preparation to strike group's composite training unit exercise focused on adversaries that are more closely resembled to those of the Cold War. Russia and Iranians we knew about, but Chinese? We could only hope that the sudden influence of goodwill and best intentions by the superpowers to crush ISIS is genuine instead of merely a ploy to get everyone in the same place and result in the biggest ever Gulf of Tonka redux and an accidental sinking of one or more ships. Wow, I hadn't even thought about that. With or without a fake Syrian passport planted next to it. That's a good article. That's from Zero Hedge. That's where I agree, Austin. When you start getting this many warships in the same area all at once, bad things happen, dude. Because these captains of these ships, man, they start getting all arrogant. They don't want to back off anything.
Yeah, well, and especially, too, just from the other aspect, when you look at, like, when they parked all the ships in Pearl Harbor that one time and had them all docked. Anytime you start getting all these ships together, it's definitely a setting for something that can escalate rather quickly in almost any direction. Especially these boys have some pretty big guns on their ships, too. You know, they're not just loaded down with a couple ARs and, you know, M60s. I mean, they got some pretty big weapons. They can do a lot of damage really, really quick.
Well, you know, now we've seen the literature of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He actually had an 8-step process together for the Congress. They went together on it. It was all the secret stuff back then of how to force the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor. They knew their attack was coming. They didn't care. They planted all their old battleships there. A lot of them had been built in the last part of the 1800s and the first part of the 1900s. They were old and antiquated. And so he wanted to get rid of those ships. He was willing to sacrifice them. That's why there were no aircraft carriers in Pearl Harbor at the attack. He knew it was going to come, and he had them all set. He always had them somewhere else because the aircraft carriers were the major strike force at that point in the war. And everybody began to realize very quickly that, you know, that these battleships could be sunk. And, of course, Germany did it with the Bismarck. They built that huge battleship with those 20-inch guns, I believe it had on it. It's a monstrous, monstrous ship. And then it got into a battle, and a doggone torpedo from an airplane hit its rudder, and it had to go in circles. It just got shot at until the captain supposedly finally sunk the thing. It was crazy. And so I thought it was on its maiden voyage.
Yeah, that's wild. Another story, I'm always telling everybody about vaccines over and over and over again, so when something happens, I like to let everybody know and reinforce the fact that you don't need these things. 9-year-old girl from Texas now this week is bedridden at the Texas Children's Hospital in Houston after being injured by the flu shot. Imagine that. Brianna Browning, a fourth grader from Crystal Beach, Texas, was perfectly healthy before being injected with a flu vaccination at Bolivar Peninsula School. Now she is paralyzed from the waist down and completely blind. Her symptoms started 8 hours after receiving the flu shot when her mother said she began profusely vomiting, which continued on to the next day. This is really sad, man. I mean, and the problem is this has happened repeatedly over and over and over and over and over again, and we keep telling people about these vaccines that, I mean, you don't need the flu vaccine. There's basic supplements you can take that will do amazing results in helping your immune system stay strong. You don't need to get shot up with this toxic garbage that they put in you all the time. And I mean, we already know now that the flu vaccinations are ineffective at best. It's all about the money. It's a complete and total fallacy. It absolutely has almost no benefits whatsoever, and all it does is increase your risk of all these other problems, including Alzheimer's now, with all the aluminum that they're pumping in this stuff. So you guys got to understand, you don't have a flu vaccine deficiency. Your immune system may just be slightly compromised, and you need a couple good supplements. You don't need to go get injected with more toxins in your bloodstream. It's crazy.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, Austin. I mean, we've seen it over and over and over again. In fact, when you use the multivial shot right now with the flu vaccine, it still contains mercury. The thimerosal, these are just a sterilizing agent in the shot because they're putting needles in and out the whole time. The nuttiest thing is that people don't understand that mercury is one of the most poisonous substances of the human brain. You should never put it anywhere near your body, much less you're injected directly into your bloodstream. And, you know, it's so funny, Austin, because I've been talking about this stuff. Gosh, I mean, you're 27 years old. You never had any immunizations. So one time I remember I gave you a tetanus shot that did not have any thimerosal in it because you had to go to camp and you were like 12 or 13 years old. And I remember you got deathly sick from it. And I told you, I said, that's it. I'm not giving you any more of that stuff because you've not had any of that stuff in your body. But the shots are not what we think they are. And this Friday night, I want you to listen to the show I do this Friday night. We're going to talk about the GMOs. We're going to talk about shots. We're going to talk about how everything's being used to rewrite our DNA. And it's, in fact, this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday show is going to be a non-miss. You got to see, you got to hear this show. This Wednesday on Thanksgiving and on Friday, it's absolutely critical that you hear these. But this is just, Austin, it's the thing about it is, I feel like a broken record, son. And, you know, the crazy, I sent an email out the other day to my personal list, and it said, everybody whose child was a victim of immunizations was pro-vaccine before it happened.
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat that. Every person whose child is a victim of vaccinations was pro-vaccine before it happened. In other words, they wouldn't have been giving them vaccines if they were against them. And so that's why they have a thing, huge payout. They pay billions and billions and billions of dollars out to people who have had children permanently damaged and killed and dead and basically just mental midgets now. And, we talked about this last week on Hagmann about with the autistic right now. That I think it's 2035, that all boys will have autism that are born, 100%. By 2025, it's going to be 50% if the current statistics don't change. And by 2038, 100% of all girls will have autism that are being born. So we're talking 20 years from now, right? 20 years from now, every child born is going to have autism, pretty much. And the thing about this is crazy is that, you very rarely see autistic children out in public. Well, there's a reason for that. The parents can't take them out in public. In many cases, they're just uncontrollable, especially as they get older. They become teenagers, and they get the strength of full-grown men, these boys, and they're basically out of control. And that's why I think that's one of the reasons they killed Gonzalez and those boys when they started finding out about the Nogalase and started working with those macrophages that were activated. They had to stop that because I personally think this goes back down. This is going to get all kind of spiritual on you guys, so stay with me for a second. I personally think that this is all about demon possession, and these autistic children are a lot easier for these demons to inhabit them and take control over their bodies. And bless the kid's heart, they had no say-so about this. And so this whole New World agenda is so evil and so corrupt to the core. And they're all a bunch of devil worshipers and demon worshipers. There's something else they're doing concerning this, and I'll be covering it on this Friday night on the show, or Friday afternoon on the Ted Brewer show. But you guys have to stay tuned for the rest of this week because it's going to be really intense on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah, it's definitely – that show's pretty wild. And that's the thing that they've even shown now, that the overuse of these vaccines along with all these different antibiotics and the Tamiflu – and the Relenza and all this stuff for flu, they're making the flu virus literally mutate even worse. That's why it gets so much worse, because all the stuff they keep giving. I know when I talked to Dr. Robinson that one time, our local doctor here that's real natural-minded, he does the chelation intravenous and stuff, he said that. He said the overuse of all these antibiotics now and all these different flu vaccines constantly doing all this stuff, they're actually creating these super bugs and super viruses, either accidentally or, intentionally, which I don't think it's accidental, because when you combine all this stuff together, you're chemically changing everything. It's like the GMO foods. It's not the same anymore. It's not normal. Just like the GMO salmon that they're producing now. That's not normal. That's not supposed to be in nature. When you start tinkering with nature like that and then introducing it into the population, like with these flu vaccines, you completely alter everything. Here's another article now that's come out that the whooping cough is now reemerging in countries with high vaccination coverage and low mortality. It says whooping cough is a relatively new infectious disease afflicting human beings compared with other infectious diseases, and it's undergoing a reoccurrence despite decades of heavy vaccination. And it goes in the study here and basically goes in a bunch of numbers on how all these different countries, including the United States, are experiencing more whooping cough cases now, yet they've been vaccinating them for 20, 30 years sometimes. So it's showing you that the whooping cough is getting stronger, and the vaccinations did nothing before, and especially all the side effects that are occurring with it. I mean, it used to be that infants, they weren't even vaccinated when, they were born. They were allowed a good 6 months plus before they even had to go get their shots when they went to the pediatrician. Now they're getting shot up before they even leave the hospital. And, I mean, how can a child, a little infant that just entered this world, how can his immune system develop if they're being shut down or altered with vaccinations? How can they hope to adapt to a new virus protection when bacteria begins mutating? You're injecting these laboratory chemicals in these newborn infants like this, and you expect it to be healthy? You expect it to have health benefits? Are you kidding me? And then all these kids are coming down with autism now, like Ted just said, and everybody wonders, why is autism growing rampantly? Well, maybe we shouldn't be injecting kids with, what, 67 immunizations by the time they're 2 years old? Is that the right number now?
It takes a little bit longer than that. Usually by the time they're in the early teenage years, they've had like 67 shots. A lot of their continual boosters. And the crazy thing about it is that it's not the kid's fault. Today we were on the airplane. We're on a 3.5-hour flight from Madrid to Vienna. Tomorrow we'll be in Budapest, which is one of the major train stations that are taking these folks into Germany. And what was interesting is we got the people sitting directly behind me got on the plane with two kids, and you could tell the kids weren't right. I don't know what in the world these kids weren't right. And these kids started screaming on the airplane for, hours on end. And luckily I had a pair of those noise-canceling headsets with me. And so it didn't get rid of all the noise. We got rid of most of it. And then finally, the one kid was screaming so much, I finally said, I got to pray. And so I started praying for God to touch this baby. And I said, Lord, this is your son, this is your child. You got to touch this child. This scream has got to stop. And all of a sudden, I had no sooner got the words out of my mouth that baby didn't scream one more time the rest of that flight.
Wow.
It's just interesting to me how, God loves the little children. And that's the whole thing is, if you got a whole group of people, I'm going to say this again, and I've said it on the show before, I'm going to go ahead and repeat it because it needs to be repeated. If you have an autistic child and you have the concern of having another autistic child, you're not going to want any more kids. And if you know that every child being born ends up being autistic, you know what's amazing to me? It's just the fact that this is even a conversation. This is so stupid that this conversation should even happen. You got one in, 47 right now, I think it is, on children coming down with autism, boys. Now it's going to be one in two by 2025 in less than 10 years, and 100% by 2035 in boys, and 100% by 2038 in girls. I mean, does anybody not realize what this is going to do to the economy of the United States? There won't even be a United States anymore if this happens, because the caregivers are going to have to be working with these kids all the time. And where's the next generation supposed to come from? Muslims and immigrants and Hispanics? So, yeah, I guess. Maybe we'll be in a situation Angela Merkel is in. I think they hate God's children so much, and they hate the European heritage of Christianity, which was basically kept alive for 2,000 years through Europe and through the Catholic Church, though pretty adulterated after the 4th century, but at least he kept the word alive as far as most of the Bible that they didn't alter or change. They should have always left the book of Enoch in there. That explains too much. That's probably why they took it out. But the thing about it is that who's going to run the United States? Who's going to do the air conditioning repairs? I mean, we're going to be in the same situation that Germany's in. You're not going to have anybody working in the fields or doing anything as far as air conditioning or mechanics or anything. They're not going to be around. I mean, and so who's supposed to run the country, the infrastructure of the country, when everybody has autism? I mean, does anybody not think it through this, Austin? How stupid is this?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is kind of the idea behind it. It's like they know they are already linking all these vaccinations directly to autism and all types of other health problems, like this poor little girl in Texas who got the flu vaccine. They know what this stuff does, and I know they want to depopulate the earth. Maybe they figure that, if the autistic kids or there's just massive population of autistic people, they're going to be easier to control or just throw in some type of concentration camp, some globalist FEMA camp. I don't know. And I guess they figure there's still going to be a small remnant of the population that still is going to be worthy of working for them. I don't know, but you're absolutely right. I mean, they know this is happening. They know what it causes. They know what directly is making all this happen, yet they're still always pushing for vaccines all the time. They come out with new ones all the time. It's ridiculous. I mean, now what, they're coming out with a vaccine for high cholesterol. Give me a break. High cholesterol, a vaccine for high cholesterol now. It's nuts.
There's 250 vaccines in the pipeline right now. And the reason that's happening is they're so profitable. and they have no liability exposure. I mean, they can make as many as they want, poison as many people as they can. And see, again, it goes back to just the evil of what's happened here. I mean, and I'm starting to sound redundant to myself, because we got a situation in which human beings have become so sick and so evil. It reminds me what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, and I'm going to do the whole Bible study but I'm going to be talking about that some this Wednesday night, if you listen to the show Wednesday afternoon. And what the crazy thing about it is, it says that every thought of every man was evil all the time. And you know, it's like yesterday when we were talking about how these guys who kill these little kids with these drones say that they're just out there mowing the grass. I mean, these are a bunch of, without Jesus, the whole thing starts to fall apart, and Lucifer knows that.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, it's interesting because more and more stuff is starting to come out now. It's the different little topic here, but U.S. Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard basically came out on CNN, which I don't know how much you can believe on CNN. But she basically said this war out on Assad is counterproductive and illegal, and basically took it a step further, accusing the CIA of arming the same terrorists the White House basically sworn enemies of. And she goes on, she quotes, said the U.S. is waging two wars in Syria. The first war is an abysmal one against ISIS and the Islamic extremists, which Congress authorized after the terrorist attack in 9/11. The second war is the illegal war to overthrow the Syrian government of Assad. And we know they've been doing this for a while, and you know, the government thinks the U.S. should always be everywhere, always attempting to overthrow every regime in history when human rights claim there's evidence of oppression. But she goes on to say, people said the very same thing about Saddam Hussein, the same very thing about Gaddafi. The results of those two failed efforts of regime change and the following national building has been an absolute, not only have they been failures, but they're actually working to strengthen the enemy. So I find it interesting that she's actually come out now and waking people up about this whole facade that we have over there as far as attacking Syria, and that ISIS is not. Now, Russia overall primary goal for them, I think they really dislike ISIS, because that's why they're being so effective with the precision airstrikes. Whereas the U.S. just does these little bobo drone strikes and, you know, takes out a couple of goats in the afternoon. That's about the extent of their aggression.
Well, I think Russia would rather just remain neutral. But Russia really, really likes Assad, and they really don't want that natural gas line going from Qatar through Syria up into Turkey and tying into the natural gas going into Europe that Russia sells. I mean, I think Russia is more, not as much being humanitarian with all of this as they are self-seeking in their own interest, because they've seen the United States topple one country after another country after another country, you know, including the Ukraine. And Russia just finally said, no, stop it. Now they've bombed the power lines going into Crimea. Somebody has. I mean, so it's just a big disaster. But see, the Russia is like the restraint part of what's going on now. They're the ones that are trying to tell people, hey, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. But we're the ones that are just going out just full tilt, just being complete nightmares about everything, Austin. It's awful what the United States has been doing. I like Obama's comments here in Malaysia. He goes, Obama praises refugees in Malaysia, excited to see what you do in America. This is from Breitbart. President Obama is using his visit to a refugee center in Malaysia to highlight the plight of Rohingya Muslim refugees from Myanmar and remind the world that he's committed to bringing more refugees to America. I'm very excited to see what the individuals sitting around this table end up doing in the United States of America, because my suspicion is they're going to do great things, he said. Obama spoke after visiting a group of refugees at the Dignity for Children Foundation in Malaysia who were there on the way to settle in the United States. I mean, you know, here's the thing. You know, I don't believe the Muslims are inherently evil. I really don't. I really don't. I don't believe they've got the right about who Abraham and God and Jesus and all that kind of stuff is. We obviously know that's wrong. At least we believe it's wrong. They really believe it's right, but I believe it's wrong. And the craziest thing about all of that is that, you know, there are good Muslims. I know some good Muslims, some really, really nice people that are Muslim. The problem is when you start training them in our terrorist facilities in the United States, some three dozen of them, and then you turn them into militants, and then you send them back into the Middle East to get further militarized. You know, you create these these complete and total lunatic soldiers who all they believe is that jihad, a holy war, is all they're called for in their entire life. And so they start going nuts, and they start doing this crazy stuff, especially when you give them bombs and suicide vests, and you geek them up. Like, what did you say the other day, that one Saudi prince got caught with, like, gosh, what was it, 50 suitcases of amphetamines?
Yeah, 40 suitcases completely full. It was like a ton and a half of basically Middle Eastern cocaine is essentially what it is. It's an amphetamine that they basically use. It's basically like a Middle Eastern cocaine. 40 suitcases of it, a ton and a half, sneaking back on his private jet, got blessed with it.
Well, nothing happened to him. We already know that. What's your next story, Oz?
Oh, the next one here, let me see. Got a couple different ones from today. The AMA now, the American Metal Association, is actually calling for a ban on drug ads as skyrocketing medical costs push Americans to seek alternative treatment. This is an awesome win for us as far as for the natural supplement and nutrition, because we're actually seeing that people are going further and further. It says the AMA is concerned that hordes of Americans are abandoning expensive and often ineffective prescription drugs in favor of inexpensive natural cures and preventative, you know, herbs, plants, and nutrients. So the group is now calling on Congress to issue a ban on direct-to-consumer drug advertising, not because such advertising poses threats to public health, but because it's apparently harming Big Pharma's bottom line. A recent intern meeting, the AMA adopted its own comprehensive policy that it says will help reduce the cost of prescription drugs for consumers, and part of this policy involves pushing towards the removal of drug advertising on television and in print media, a breach of consumer trust that is currently legal in only two countries, the United States and New Zealand. I did not know that. So, I mean, what's interesting here is, I mean, we've made jokes about it before. I mean, it's crazy. You're watching a TV show, which I don't even watch TV anymore, hardly at all. And, you know, it's like every third commercial is another drug commercial. The best one is that Chantix, the smoking commercial. And then at the end of it, it goes, well, if you have any type of suicidal thoughts or actions, contact your doctor immediately to see if you should be taking this product. Any type of suicidal thoughts or actions? I mean, is that really something that we need to be, you know, taking to stop smoking? Well, what's interesting here now is now they're saying they want to stop the drug advertisement on television and in print media, and apparently it's only legal in the United States and New Zealand. I didn't know that.
Well, no, it's crazy. In Germany, you don't see it, and you don't see it over here. Because what it is just an infomercial for a drug's all it is. And,
yep.
they get you to run to your doctor and tell you how great you want to feel because you want him to give you this drug, and he's getting kickbacks in some cases from these drug companies, either through free vacations or free seminars, or he gets to go to a conference in Hawaii for 2 weeks and it's all expense pay. I mean, that's how they get away with all of this nonsense, except for chemotherapy. I think chemotherapy is one of the only drugs they can actually get a direct kickback on. So that's, I always find why that happens. Here's another interesting thing. It's kind of strange. An undercover cop dressed in an all-black suit, dressed in all black, shot while placing a GPS tracker on a car. This is from Information Liberation. An undercover police officer in Arlington, Texas, was shot while attempting to place a GPS tracker on a person's vehicle, and the man who shot him may not even be charged. Preliminary reports suggested this undercover cop, who was dressed in all black at the time, may have been mistaken for a car burglar. After the officer went to place a GPS tracker on the suspect's vehicle, a neighbor reportedly confronted him to ask what he was doing. When the cop responded that he had dropped something, the neighbor opened fire on him with an assault rifle, hitting him in his arm, leg, and hand. The undercover cop failed to identify himself as a police officer and ran away to the safety of fellow officer's getaway vehicle, a black Ford F-150, which was also shot some 16 times as they fled the scene. Two men and one woman were seen being arrested shortly after the incident. A SWAT team then descended on the neighborhood and surrounded the home in question for hours, only to drive her away later with a whimper and make no arrests. Former prosecutor Toby Shook said that the shooter may not face any charges, as Texas liberal gun laws allow for the use of deadly force to stop a burglary. That's nuts. Is that crazy?
That's, I mean, well, I mean, the thing you, I just had this picture in my mind of this little undercover cop in all black sulking around this car trying to get a GPS tracker on it. It gets lit up with an AR. I mean, it's just interesting because, and we've talked about it before, you know, there's a lot of good cops. We have friends that are cops, but there's a lot of them that really overstep their boundaries in almost every aspect of their job. And, I mean, it's just interesting to me when these guys think they can just walk around, do whatever they want with full impunity, you know, dress up in all black, ski mask, do no-knock search warrant raids, and there's no ramifications to this. This guy obviously thought he was going to be real slick and put a GPS tracker on a car and end up getting lit up with an AR. However, the 16 rounds into the F-150, that may have been a little bit excessive. I don't know the whole situation. I wasn't there, but that's a lot of open fire. I don't know what his background was that he was shooting, you know, towards
the wall.
Shot
him 16 times. I mean,
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah. I mean,
in the state of Florida, you can't do that. In the state of Florida, if somebody's doing a robbery, you can engage them with a weapon if you see them engaged. But if they're fleeing the scene or running away, you're not allowed to do that again. You have to walk. You have to stop. You can't pursue them, and you can't do that. That's why Trayvon Martin ended up getting charged with Zimmerman, because he was in such a gray area because he was pursuing Trayvon. And that's what happened. Then Trayvon turned on him and attacked him, and that's why Zimmerman eventually got off, because the Florida laws were liberal enough or just rightly written enough that he could get away with it, because, you know, Trayvon had beat him up pretty good. But remember, Trayvon wasn't a 12-year-old kid anymore. He's like 17 years old. I think he was 6'2" and about 180 or 90 pounds. He'd been trained in a shoot fighting, wasn't it, Austin?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was in martial arts, some type of martial arts, maybe in shoot fighting.
So,
yeah, he wasn't a little kid. That's what was so crazy about the whole incident down here, because, you know, we're 30 minutes away from where that happened. And when it happened, I remember everybody's like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden the photo started reemerging, this 17-year-old kid, you know, flicking off the camera. And then the video emerged of the 7-Eleven where he had gone just before the shooting. And, you know, he's a pretty tall kid. I mean, he's definitely not some little 12-year-old, 5-foot little child walking down the street. And you're right, that was the biggest thing. Zimmerman never even would have been charged with anything if the situation would have just occurred on a normal basis in a simple confrontation. But because Zimmerman basically tried to follow him to see where he was going, and then the Trayvon jumped out and basically got on top of him and started beating him, and then he shot him. That was the only reason that he ended up going to jail, was because he basically pursued him before the fight escalated. So, he still got off.
And what was so funny to me is Zimmerman was Hispanic, and because his name Zimmerman's a German name, everybody didn't realize he was Hispanic, and so this whole thing got blown up because they thought he was a white boy, and they were basically, you know, the black with the white guy, you know, trying to start a race war. I mean, the whole thing's so stupid. I mean, it's just, you know, you got a black thug that attacked a white guy who was patrolling a neighborhood watch area. The black kid already had a bunch of problems already, and he ends up getting himself killed is what happened, and it's sad that had to happen, because nobody ever needs to be killed. But the sad part about it is that you know you got a lot of people out there just straight hoods. They're just rat thieves, scoundrels, thugs is all they are. And you know, you got to be careful when you get around them, because they're so dangerous to be around. It's crazy. Here's another article: the charity that passes on only 3% of its budget to help the Christian children it claims to help. This is from AllGov. According to an investigation by the Tampa Bay Times and the Center for Investigative Reporting, Kids Wish has given out less than 3% of its donations to sick children. The rest has gone to fundraising and salaries to its founder and former president, Mark Reiner. The Times found that he or his companies have received $4.8 million over the last 10 years from the charity. More than $110 million has gone to professional solicitors during the same period. The charity gave only $3.3 million to children, to kids. Wish has come under enough scrutiny that it has hired a crisis manager specialist. Melissa Schwartz worked for the federal government after the 2010 BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. She says Kids Wish hire solicitors so its staff can focus on working with children, okay, not on raising donations, the Times reported. She refused more comments, saying the charity is focused on the future. Remember, you used to work for a company, Austin, way back when you were in college. It was a thing for charities, for state troopers. Remember that?
Yes. It was It was IUPA Local 6000. I don't even think they're in business anymore. Probably another derivative of them that's taken over. But yeah, it was basically straight cold call telemarketing. And you called up people and basically asked them, you had a whole little, you know, spiel, and you basically asked them for donations to help the local state troopers, local Florida state troopers. But what's funny is I didn't work there very long. It was an absolutely horrible job. but what's crazy is that I remember hearing about a while later, the place got completely raided. And so I think SWAT teams came in, all this stuff came in, they seized all these computers, and basically they were only contributing like 2 or 3%, about the same thing, to Florida State Troopers, and the rest of the money that was coming in on donations was essentially going to a couple of the big boys that made the company. So it, what's funny is be very leery when you always hear about this stuff and you see these advertisements, you know, donate here, send money here, help children here. Not saying all those things are bad, not saying that they're not going to the right causes, but just understand that somebody's paying for that advertisement, somebody's funding all the stuff you see on it, somebody's paying the employees to take your credit card number, somebody's paying for the building that everybody's in, somebody's paying for the electric that's on. So a lot of the money you're donating over there, majority of times, very, very little of it actually goes to what you're trying to put it towards. So, yeah, well,
it's kind of like this, and please don't get offended if I tell you guys this, but, you know, I've worked with a lot of TV ministries. I've raised a lot of money with them, helped them raise money. I've donated books to them. I mean, I know a lot of them. I'm not going to mention any names here, and I've talked about it on the show before. And let me tell you this. You'd be better spent giving money to your local church. You know, I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, if your mom dies or your father dies or your mother or wife dies or whatever, who's going to come bury him if you got some TV evangelist that's 2,000, 1,500 miles away? And these guys, a lot of them just have these opulent lifestyles. A lot of them are just not who you think they are. They're just not good people. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone. I'm not going to mention any names. The sad part about it is that, you know, what you see in person when you meet them and what their TV persona is completely different in some cases. And if you guys ever come to Florida and you ever come by my office and you meet me or you meet Austin, we're exactly like we are on the radio. We're not putting on any kind of fake thing here. This is who we are. I mean, this is it. I mean, I carry a 1911. Austin carries a 1911. I mean, we love ARs. I mean, we
just, you know, carry a Glock. Don't put that on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. You carry 45 Glock most of the time, don't you?
I do like my Glocks. 1911. That's 1911's your band on that one.
Austin and I were joking with our producer a few minutes ago, and we were saying how these older guys like to carry 1911s, and our producer said, "Well, that's because, you know, we've gotten too old. We just don't want to get beat up. We want to make sure we shoot somebody, don't get mad about it, and start chasing us down." And hopefully that'll never have to happen, but the 1911 is a good weapon. It's been around for a long, long time. There's a reason for that. We're almost out of time, so we can do one more story. The U.S. dollar has already caused a global recession, and now the Fed is going to make it worse. This is from Economic Collapse blog. The seventh largest economy on the entire planet, Brazil, has been gripped by a horrifying recession and has much of the rest of South America. But it isn't just South America that is experiencing a very serious economic downturn. We have just learned that Japan, the third largest economy in the world, has lapsed into recession. So has Canada. So has Russia. The dominoes are starting to fall, and it looks like the global economic crisis that has already started is going to accelerate as we head into the end of this year. At this point, global trade is already down by 8.4% for the year, and last week, the Baltic Dry Index, we talked about this yesterday, plummeted to a brand new all-time record low. Unfortunately for all of us, the Federal Reserve is about to do something that will make the economic global recession even worse. That's that they're planning on raising rates. I don't believe they're going to do it, Austin. I don't believe they're going to raise the rates. I think they so painted themselves into a corner in German. You say, I'm going to put it, painted your, you know, I've been in a corner, basically what that means. Well, it actually doesn't mean that. Means you butter yourself into a corner. But they so I'm going to put it, but painted themselves into a corner that they're going to basically not be able to, because if they start raising rates, Austin, the bond market's going to collapse. If the bond market collapse, it's bigger than the equities market. It's going to cause a global panic, because once those interest rates start going up, those bond prices start falling through the floor. That's just standard Keynesian economics. That's what happens.
Well, yeah, and especially we see, you know, the stock market up and down, and the plunge protection teams having to spend, you know, billions of dollars trying to keep the stock market propped up, if they raise rates on there, there's no way the stock market's going to hold. And we always see that. Once the Dow starts dropping significantly, the entire economy usually starts to follow with it, just because all the stuff's linked so directly.
Well, yeah, it's just the whole thing about it is, I mean, how much money can you print? That's what it boils down to. I mean, the plunge protection team, how much money can you print running through the Treasury? I mean, how much can you do this? I mean, the only reason that we haven't had just massive, 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 even worse deficits than we've run right now is that we're basically borrowing this money from the Fed now at 0% interest through the Treasury. And the only reason that the economy hasn't collapsed is that there's no interest to pay back. Because this way, when they do this, and we've talked about it on the other shows, the interest is what's not there to pay back. If there's no interest, it does. The way they're doing it now is the way it should have always been done with Congress. Is that Congress prints the money as they need it with no reason to pay it back, and they have to be very careful when they print it because they're going to devalue the currency. That's how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to base it all or back it all either in gold or petroleum or in natural resources, so you have something to base the currency on rather than just fiat, just, you know, money out of nothing. So it's going to be interesting, Austin, when this stuff starts to hit the fan here pretty quick.
Irredeemable paper currency. I wrote a paper on it in college for my actually first class in the master's program. And you're absolutely right. When you just are allowed to print money with nothing behind it, and you can print trillions and trillions of dollars with absolutely nothing backing it, it has no redeemable value, hence the name, it's irredeemable paper currency, it always leads back to its first original cost, which is essentially nothing. You know, I think a $100 bill that it costs, what, half a cent to print?
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
same
price, but $1
bill. $1 bill costs half a cent.
Yeah.
They all cost half a cent.
Yeah, it's all the same. So, I mean, how many hundreds do you want? Put a number out there. We'll just, you know, print more up for you. And that's where we're at now. That's why, you know, if you look at it from the Federal Reserve enacting in 1913 to now currently 100 years, we've almost lost 100% of our purchasing power of the dollar. What you could buy for a dollar back then is about $100 now, sometimes a little more.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's kind of like this. I mean, what these bankers do and what they've done since they started this Babylonian money magic nonsense is they print money out of nothing and they turn around and buy tangible assets like blue chip stocks. I know right now that I don't even know who owns Marriott anymore, but now Marriott's, you know, buying Starwood properties. And I mean, so you have all these hotel merger chains. It's just unbelievable how much money's flowing around out there when they start printing trillions of dollars on off-book balance sheets. You don't even know where the money's going or where it's going to be, what's going to happen with it.
No, that's why Ron Paul was so adamant about auditing the Fed. And it's so funny because it's the same thing about why did they want that book pulled off Amazon? Why don't they want GMOs labeled? Why don't they want people talking about vaccines? Why don't they want the Federal Reserve audited from an outside auditing source? Anytime somebody doesn't want you to do something or doesn't want you to label it or doesn't want you to look into it, it's probably because they're hiding something.
Pretty much, buddy. Pretty much. Okay, guys, thanks for listening today. I'll be back with you tomorrow. I'm going to be in the thick of things in Budapest, Hungary, and we're going to be doing hopefully some interviews tomorrow with some of these Muslim immigrants that are pushing through from Syria. God bless you guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
Be safe.